Good to see God's truth coming through just in the song service, and that's important and critical. Appreciate that. Well, let's take our Bibles, Acts chapter 11 this morning. Acts chapter 11. When something is repeated in Scripture, it's often really important for us to sit up and pay attention. God doesn't waste words, especially in His Word. He never wastes words. We do sometimes. You say, I know, Pastor, you preach long. Anyway. And so when He repeats Himself on purpose in inspired Scripture, it's really important for us to remind ourselves of why. Why is He doing this? What's the importance of this? This is obviously very important to Him. He wants us to not miss this. For us in 21st century, Baptist fundamentalism, maybe you narrow it down to that point, this is almost common lot. We accept the fact that the Scriptures were meant and the Gospel was meant to go to the Gentiles. We are the fruit of that. We are living it. We are Gentiles. And I'm grateful that God's Word expanded beyond the Jewish nation. That we are living that fruit. But let us not forget what that meant in that day and age. Even though Christ had clearly instructed the disciples to go into all the world, preach the Gospel to every creature, they were terribly human, kind of like you and I. And for them to have a radical change in their thinking from being a Jew, from following God's way in the Old Testament, sacrificial system, it appears as though they were somewhat delighted to get rid of some of those obligations. And yet for them to make the move 180 degrees in some respects, to not think just family and me, us, to think all of the world, was difficult. And it was something that went against the grain of the soul of a Jew. Maybe the best way, at least something that I can liken it to in our culture and time, when we're out dealing with folks that don't know the Lord and we run across someone, I don't see it as much in this region as I have in some of the city areas, where you run across a Catholic. And you come to the door, you want to share the truth with them, and there's a wall that's immediately just put up. And they sometimes are very gracious about it. But they will not hear you. Grandpa has been a Catholic. Great-grandpa. And they have. It's a part of who they are in their soul. Now, they may not attend weekly Mass and all those things. Although I've run across some who do, are very religious about their wrong doctrine. And for them to make the change to biblical Christianity, to come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, knows that life will be totally different. In our own personal family, when Dad became a Baptist, he'd saved in the Covenant Church, but the family thought we were kind of oddballs. And it took a while for the Lord to grow Dad. I was a young boy. I remember some of those marked steps in Dad's life spiritually where he let the Lord have full sway. The family didn't get it. And to this day, some of them don't get it. They don't understand. And that's too bad, obviously. So even for these people that knew the Lord for have that dramatic change, God wanted them to realize this is really, really important and you need to change. Believer, never come to a place in your life where your theology, what you believe God's Word says, doesn't directly impact how you live. Your faith must bear fruit in your works. And so God often in our life, as He grows and develops us in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, our theology means that we are going to have to, for the rest of our life, be making changes, growing in the Lord. Don't resist that. Let God do His great work. It is a joy when you let the Lord have full sway to help you put on the character of Christ and become the shining testimony you're supposed to be in the service and so forth. That's a joy and blessing. God wants that. Don't resist it. We find here in Acts chapter 11 some resistance.
Peter had, if we come to the end of chapter 10, it'd be kind of nice to stop the book of Acts right there. I mean, there's a lot more to go. But if you're just thinking of that, the wonderful account of Cornelius coming to Christ, and there's much delight and joy, they've come to know the Lord, the Gentiles now are getting saved, faith is for them as well, and the Jews that were with Peter realizing it, yes, but just like normal growth in our normal life. There were those that were kind of scratching their head. This is something really, really different than what we're supposed to be doing in their mind. So that's where we're at here in Acts chapter 11. Let's read. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Well, that good news had come. At least that's what we think. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. All right, who are they that were of the circumcision? Well, this was a group of, it appears to be very clearly, believers had trusted Christ, but still wanted all of the trappings of Judaism. They wanted to keep it. We're going to add Christ to Judaism. What happened in Acts 10 was, Jesus said, by the actions of Cornelius coming to Christ, Judaism is not needed. I don't need that anymore. Cornelius can simply come to faith in Christ by repentance and faith. That's it. Amen, right? Yes. We get it. That was hard for these in the Church of Jerusalem. So they contend with him. And that word contend means contend. All right? There's contention here. There's a problem. There's division in the church. Verse 3. Saying, this is their argument, thou wentest into men uncircumcised. And didst eat with them. Right? All right, there. That's kind of the tension. How could you? You ate with the uncircumcised. You're unclean. That's the thought in their mind. And remember, they had so enwrapped themselves in Judaism that, remember, Jesus even had to deal with this. Remember that his disciples, they picked some grain on the Sabbath day, but they forgot to wash their hands first. And highly criticized for that. And Jesus obviously answered that very clearly. Wait a second. God looks on the heart. You can wash your hands, but that doesn't make you right with God. All right? And now, this is the same issue here. The circumcision said, you're unclean! How could you do that? Now, let's not forget who Peter was. Was Peter a quiet, meek, mild temperament? Why are you laughing? Anyways, we obviously know differently. The scriptures make it abundantly clear who Peter was. Now remember, God has been training Peter for a long time, and we're going to get to see how God has changed who Peter is. Though he still has the fire to lead, and though it would have been a natural response for him, there's contention here. He could have punched back and punched hard. He could have brought all of the fire of God's theology down on these terrible Christians that were not thinking right. And yet, what does he do? The scriptures make it abundantly clear, and I love the description. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning. So he's going to start at the beginning, and he expounded it by order. He just simply exposed what had happened. He wasn't going to argue with them. He was going to, can I put it this way, tell them the story of what happened, what God had done, and let the truth of God's work in the life of Cornelius totally change the thinking, at least for a moment, of those that were a part of the circumcision that wanted to hang on to Judaism. So what happens? Well, let's go through his order here. Verse 5. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners. And it came even to me, even upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowl of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, and I could see Peter saying, Are you listening, circumcision? I had a heart like yours. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. What did they accuse Peter of? Of going to eat with those that were unclean. So his initial argument, that's why he spent so much time on the vision that the Lord gave him. Because it flies in the face of what they were arguing. Now, and Peter was with them. No, I've never done this. But the voice, verse 9, answered me again from heaven. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done 3 times. I'm a little dense. I don't know if Peter was thinking that, but God wanted to make it very, very, very clear. So, look at this. It's done 3 times to Peter. We are now hearing it repeated again. I think God wants us to not miss this truth. What God has cleansed, what God has allowed for the gospel to go to, don't call you unclean. Common. God's word can go everywhere. All right, so 3 times, and all were drawn up again unto me in heaven. Verse 11, and behold, immediately there were 3 men already come unto me, unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. We saw this last week. Moreover, these 6 brethren, so now we find out that the brethren that had gone with Peter over there are standing with him. These 6 brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us, so Cornelius showed us, how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. What's he referring to there? Acts chapter 2. The coming of the Spirit of God, and then their ability to speak in tongues, to proclaim the wonderful works of the Lord. The demonstration of their faith. Then remembered I the word, verse 16, of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. He's recalling the very words of Jesus to remind the circumcision here of all the truths that were coming against their thought. So, his conclusion, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I? That I could withstand God. Now, so he finally comes to his point, and it's so interesting. I love what he did here. So remember, Peter, strong, powerful, and yet he just in order gave them the circumstances till he finally comes to the point where he says, "Who was I to withstand God?" Hint, hint, you're withstanding God right now, circumcision. Now notice, because their hearts had listened and heard what Peter had said. I will give them credit where credit is due. They actually listened to the preacher. All right? Praise God. What happened? Verse 18. When they heard, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. They acknowledged the theology that Peter had been given himself and had lived out in his life and were willing to admit, All right, God has given salvation to the Gentiles. Now, just as a little aside for you, this issue is not done yet. So it changes color a little bit. So what happens is, all right, so Gentiles can come in, and we find out by chapter 15 of Acts, they're saying, but the Gentiles need to become Jews in order to be good Christians. So they're still hanging on to their culture and times. And just like you and I, they're very human. The process of overcoming wrong thinking and wrong theology and living for the Lord takes time. Be patient with one another, believers. Help each other grow. Don't give up when they're stumbling. I am so grateful for the numerous people in my own personal life that had multiple patience with me to help me become like Christ. And still, you are helping me. Thank you for your patience.
I try not to take it for granted because I know it's God's grace working in and through you towards me. Praise God. We should have that type of spirit to one another. So when we come to Acts 15, we'll see. There was grace given again. Explanation all over again. Peter's involved in that one again. And they finally make some strong conclusions that no, the Gentiles don't even have to be Jews in order to be saved. They don't have to be Jews in order to be good Christians. Theologically, that's probably the culmination point where the division is very clear. Though battles continue, and we find that through Paul's writings in the epistles as well. So now, let's keep on going, because that's really not the end of what's happening here in chapter 11. So they've come to this conclusion, Gentiles can be reached. Now they, which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. So we're hearkening all the way back to chapter 7, the beginning of chapter 8. What do? They traveled as far as Phoenice. That's north of Mount Carmel. It's in Syria, a good ways away from Jerusalem. And Cyprus, the island out there in the Mediterranean. And Antioch, we know this is the Syrian Antioch, due north of Jerusalem. Preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Ooh, there's a little struggle here. Notice that the growing pains are still there. Though the church at Jerusalem had said, okay, we recognize God wants the word of God to go to Gentiles, but notice the problem. They're still just preaching to the Jews as this persecution has pushed them out. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. Cyrene, by the way, is in North Africa, about 400 miles west of the Nile River. So the gospel was spreading pretty amazingly here. Which, when they were come to Antioch, so somehow these men from Cyprus and Cyrene had heard the gospel, maybe were in Israel, were come to Antioch, Syrian Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians. Now, this is not the Gentiles here, a very distinct word in the Greek language. These are the Hellenized Jews, the Jews that weren't living according to Judaism. They were secular Jews. Can I put it that way? They weren't Orthodox. But this was another step because Orthodox Jews disdained the Hellenized Jews. They were kind of a second-class Jew because they weren't staying up with all of our culture and time, right? So they kind of looked down on them. So for them to reach out to the Grecians was another major step. And the hand of the Lord was with them, verse 21. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which is at Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. So they understand, all right, we're going to live out our faith and understand that the gospel is going everywhere. So they send Barnabas, who, verse 23, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all. He was encouraging them, building them up in the faith, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. This was helping them grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the description of Barnabas, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Sounds rather like the description of the deacons in Acts chapter 6, doesn't it? Same characteristics, all right? God using a godly man to accomplish God's work. And much people were added unto the Lord. So Barnabas is evangelizing and discipling. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. Now we're seeing tie into chapter 9. Saul had been saved. Was in Damascus for a while, went down to the Arabian desert, came back, served in Damascus, and then was kicked out. Came to Jerusalem. Remember, Barnabas was the one that drew Saul into the church of Jerusalem. Was there for a while until the Jews heard the persecutor is now with them and they wanted to kill him, so they sent him back home to his hometown. We're not sure how exactly long it is, but praise God for Barnabas again. He's reaching out, doing the gospel work, sanctifying Paul. He goes to find Tarsus. I think we can use this man. So he goes to Tarsus to seek Saul, verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. What a neat conclusion to this long, lengthy section again. So, let's run back through in our hearts and minds and talk about two things today. Let's talk about our theology, the theology of reaching the world, and then let's talk about our practice of reaching the world. And let's follow the example of what we see here in Acts chapter 11 that the church of Jerusalem is doing. So, in the theology of reaching the world, we see that this is God's word, that the word is to go to the world. Peter, in verses 4 to 10, explains the whole vision again. This is God's doing. What was I to withstand God? You see, God wants His word to go around the world. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so, slowly, slowly, bit by bit, the church of Jerusalem is grabbing it. Believer, I hope that over maybe, let's just put the coursework here for us for a moment, since I've been your pastor. All right, 6.5 years or so. Can you stop and consider in your own life and maybe the life of the church? Have we taken more steps in our work of reaching the world? Step by step, the church at Jerusalem was doing that. It didn't happen all at once. You have the joy of Acts chapter 2. Power coming on, Peter preaching, or healing the lame man, chapter 4 or 5. The gospel spreading, multitudes getting saved there. Then the persecution comes. Oh, but before that, remember, priests had gotten saved as the church was helping meet all of the needs of the widows there. Persecution comes and they start scattering. They're going out bit by bit. And we've crossed another major divide as we see both Saul coming to know the Lord and Cornelius coming to know the Lord. May we be found faithfully living out our theology. God has called us to reach our world. Roscoe, Rockton, Lloyd, Rockford, Winnebago, Janesville. We got some folks there. Wherever we are at, God wants us to reach. Have you grown in your evangelism in the last 6.5 years? What is different today maybe about you and your heartbeat for the Lord and His theology than 6.5 years ago? I'm glad that they grew. This was God's Word. And it was confirmed, verse 11 and 12, by the Spirit. He was the one that said, this is go. Don't doubt it. Don't question it. You are to go. Grateful for the confirming work in our own hearts and lives when, as we go out and share the gospel, He supports, encourages, empowers us, enables us to do that work. And then we see that God's Word was also amened by the brethren in verse end of verse 12. These six men were with me. They saw it. They recognize it. There's affirmation from other brothers and sisters in Christ. Then we see that we have God's call. God's Word, now God's call in verse 13 and 14. Look with me again. And He showed us how He had seen an angel in His house, which stood and said, this is talking about Cornelius, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. God was wooing, calling Cornelius. You see, God was doing His part, and yet He has chosen in His perfect sovereignty for us to be a part of this great work of evangelism and discipleship. He won't get it done another way. Get a load of this, believer. You're theologically the best choice to share the gospel. That's amazing to me. That should encourage our hearts today. God has chosen you, believer, to share the gospel. He has not chosen to do it Himself. The angel was standing right there. Why didn't the angel share the gospel? Because He wants to use you. He wanted Peter to go and share the gospel. That's the best plan. You say, that doesn't make sense to me. It's not supposed to. You're not God. Let us be willing to follow God. Period. End of statement. Even if we can't put it all together in our heads. That's the joy of salvation. It's far greater than we could ever understand. We will spend an eternity wondering at our great God. So, get on board. Follow the theology. Do your part. So God calls and then God does great work in verse 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift, He was the one that gave them salvation. Do I give them salvation and as I evangelize? No. I'm just the messenger. I can't save their soul. Only Jesus can. And God does it through us. We're the testimony. What a wonderful blessing. So, this is God's Word. This is a simple, straightforward theology of evangelism. Faith. You see, even faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Peter had to get involved in sharing the gospel with the Gentiles. So he goes. He gives his defense. The church says amen to it. And then guess what they do? Well, that's the last half of chapter 11. They continue to get involved in the work of the ministry. Their faith is now being lived out. So, what do? Well, verse 19. They went to places beyond their home. So the practice of reaching the world, we've seen a little bit of the theology. It's real simple, straightforward in this passage. But now the practice. Verse 19, what do? Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. They went to places, at least, beyond home. May we, in the practice of our theological understanding of evangelism, be willing to go beyond our house. Oh, we could make some comparisons here, I suppose, and some applications, but generally speaking, we need to get out of the doors of this church in order to evangelize. Go to another home. Why is it that we do door-to-door calling on Saturday morning? Well, it's because we have 100% retention rate on every call that we make. No. But there are homes out there that are filled with people that need to hear the gospel. And it's one avenue, it's not the only avenue, but it's one avenue to strive to obey God's word. And so we go. Believer, go beyond your home. This could really mean and entail that some of us will leave Roscoe Rockton and go serve the Lord in another place. We will miss you, but we want God's blessing on you. Is this not what we're doing at Crystal Lake? Thrusting out the heralds. By the way, it's good to see Nicole here. I was talking about them not being here, and here she is. And she's even staying awake. Good job. Anyways, okay, now that I pointed it out. Anyways. Well, because there's souls down in Crystal Lake that need the Lord. They're probably somewhat like us in Crystal Lake. Their gas is more expensive down there. They might have a few more highfalutin people down there. Their median age is a little younger than ours around here. But it's another place that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be found actively engaged and involved in doing what our theology teaches us to do. Let's go to another place. Let's help that prosper. Let's not neglect God's word. So they went to another place. Verse 20, what else did they do? They went to people beyond their home. Not just to places. There's places mentioned in verse 19, verse 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians. So they're in this new place, and now they're going to do even something even more bold. As they follow God's truth and God's word, they're going to start talking to all of these second-class, second-rate Jews. That we're no longer Orthodox. They've been so secularized. They've got the trappings of the world all about them. But they started preaching to them too. Now, that had to probably take a little bit of work on their part to figure out how to go to them. Where could you reach the Orthodox Jews? Where would you find them? Where did Paul go every time when he went to a new city? Where was the first place he parked? Say it for me. The synagogue. Right. There we go. Easy pickings in some respects. And Paul did it on purpose. Nothing against Paul's theology or how he practiced it. That was the right thing to do. You start with the God-fearers and expand from there. Well, these folks have to kind of think, all right, how am I going to reach out to these Jews that are not Jews, really? And they live like the Gentiles. They're sinners. You meet them in the marketplace? Probably. Spoke to them as their neighbor? Probably. They were willing to find them and reach them. We're not told, and I'm not going to go beyond Scripture. They didn't compromise truth to do it. It's very clear. God was with them. But they were willing to consider, how can I reach my Grecian neighbor? Believer, let me encourage you today in living out your faith to expend some good mental energy and maybe some of your own dollars to strive to reach those that are a little more difficult to reach. How can I give maybe some of my time, my talent, my efforts, my money, whatever it may be, to reach out to those people that are kind of hard to reach? We live in a culture and day, folks, where we are
insulated from almost everybody. The young generation, where they hang out is on their phone. I mean, they'll sit beside each other and not talk to each other. I know that may seem weird to some of us, but that's what's happening. Now, don't let your kids do that. Anyways, that's another message, okay? Help them to learn to be the social people God's designed them to be. Reach out and really affect people for Christ. But we've got to figure out, what can I do? So maybe you need to say, the only way I'm ever going to talk to my neighbor is to bring him to my house for barbecue. So invite him over one night. But don't neglect to share the gospel. You see, you're not doing this just to be a friend. You are to be a friend. But your theology should affect your practice. So you come up with a new way to reach your neighbor. Well, do it! Maybe you say, it seems like I've tried everything. Have you ever expended some of your prayer time in asking the Lord to help you figure out how to reach your family for Christ? Or that coworker that just seems to always be resistant? Let us be about being a little creative within the parameters of God's Word. All right? I'm not saying go crazy here. But I am saying, let us not be stuck in the mud and just quickly give up on reaching people when they're kind of hard to reach. Let's go the next step, be willing to do that. So they went to places beyond their home. They went to people beyond their home, outside of their normal circle. God empowered them with that. Verse 21, the hand of the Lord was with them. Don't forget, as they were being creative, God was with them, and a great number believed. Turned unto the Lord. I am so encouraged by Nathan Barber and his work down in Shorewood. And if you've read their mission letters, he was struggling. I mean, he's still doing door-to-door like we do. He's sending out flyers. Yeah, he gets on social media and he sends out, you know, Facebook advertisements, all those kinds of things. But he was still, it's like, how can I affect my city for Christ? How can I draw people in? Remember, they started last summer with those neighborhood barbecues. Went around to the whole neighborhood, invited a whole bunch of people to their house. And then he had his church families do the same thing. Guess what's happened? They've seen people get saved. There are people in the church today that are attending church. Maybe some of them aren't saved yet, actually. Some of them aren't. That come because they came up with a creative idea to reach their neighbors for the Lord. God was with them. And Shorewood is growing because of it. Let us be willing to be creative for our Lord and watch how He works in and through us. Number three, not only did they go to other places and other people, but they went preaching beyond their home. And I've kind of alluded to this already, but look at verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Keep going. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that they with purpose of heart would cleave unto the Lord. And then notice what happens. Then he goes after Barnabas. Now this is some discipleship work that's going on. And yet God prospered that there was a church already growing there in Antioch because folks had gone there preaching the Word of God. Maybe I should hearken you back to verse number 19 to grab the actual word. Now they that were scattered abroad about the persecution, upon the persecution arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. What's the next word? Preaching the Word. You see, it's not just good enough to learn to befriend somebody that's outside of your circle. It's not just good enough that we send the heralds to Crystal Lake for them to live there and be nice neighbors, have a service. No, what do we do in all of this? I must preach the Word. So my illustration a moment ago, have them over, but don't neglect to preach the Word. Well, they might not like me. That's not your worry. Your worry is to obey your master, is it not? To follow through, to live out your theology, to preach the Word. May God convict our hearts to always be ready and quick to declare Christ to whoever we're with. It should be burning in your heart, believer. The moment you walk out of the door of your house, Lord, I'm a witness. Give me an opportunity and help me to say the right words. Help me to hand the track at the right time. And when you fail to do it, I trust that the Lord will convict your heart and draw you to being faithful to a theology that we say amen to, that sometimes struggle to practice. Preach the word, Paul said to Timothy. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Believer, let us be about the work of evangelism and discipleship. May our theology be real in our lives today, especially the theology of evangelism. This was important to God. He repeated it. He had Peter repeat it. He repeated it to Peter 3 times and had Peter repeat it. I think God does not want us to miss this. May we, like that early church, though we stumble like they do, may we be found faithful in declaring the word of God wherever we go. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Help us to, like Peter, recognize the work of God in our life and what God is doing, and may we be faithfully found to doing it, being a part of the great work of evangelism. So, Lord, help us to go to other places, get out of our home, reach people that maybe are more difficult for us to reach. We don't necessarily gravitate to. They're not quite like us. But help us to, whoever you bring across our path, to preach the word. Lord, I just don't see any excuse in Scripture for us not to be found faithfully doing this. So may we make this a part of who we are. Lord, would you prosper the work at Crystal Lake one day? May that work blossom and flourish. May we be faithful in supporting it. That's a part of our evangelizing the world. But may we not personally neglect to be the witnesses you've called us to be. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Believer, I must admit to you that as we've been walking through the book of Acts again, it seems as though the same theme keeps coming up over and over again. I take courage today to preach to you another message on evangelism because God repeated it. Maybe there's one here today that say, Pastor, I want to grow in the work and the calling of God in my life to be an evangelist, to reach the world for Christ. And there's been something in Acts chapter 11 that's pricked my heart today, that's challenged me, maybe given me some ideas to be a better witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Could I pray for you right now? You say, Pastor, I want to be a better evangelist, a better witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray that God would help me this week to improve at that? Yes, several hands already up. Yes, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Yes, amen. Stay faithful. Yes, amen. Sometimes it's not dramatic work, it's faithful work that God wants. And God wants us to be faithful. Are you here today without the Lord Jesus Christ? Peter, in this passage, was speaking to other believers, and so he's encouraging them about evangelism. He didn't go through his message again. May I just briefly say, Christ has died for each of us. He loved the world that much. The Father did. He's paid the price for our sins. The offer of salvation is free to you, though it cost him dearly. It cost him his own life. But your penalty has been paid. You can be freed from your sin today. Simply turn from your sin and trust Christ as your Savior. He is the way, He's the truth, He's the life. Maybe today that's your need and you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to trust Christ today as my Savior. I have not done that and I want to do that today. Anyone quietly slip their hand in the air. No one's looking about. Say, Pastor, that's my need today. Please pray for me. Father, we thank you for your word. May we be found faithful
Lord, you've repeated it, so I've repeated it. If it had been my choice, I'd have preached another message. And yet, as we walk through this book, and I felt like you've directed our steps here, as we look forward to Crystal Lake and all that you will do through us, help us to not neglect our responsibilities here. So, Father, I pray specifically for those who raise their hands. Would you, in your grace to us, give us opportunities that we just can't miss? Lord, we acknowledge our weakness, sometimes the cowardice of our heart. And so would you give us opportunities this week to share the gospel? We'll leave the fruit in your hand. That's your work. Though we would rejoice to see you see some soul come to Christ this week, we would rejoice in that. May you find us faithful, doing the work that we so quickly say amen to in our theology, but struggle with at times in our practice. If there's one here today without the Savior, draw them to thyself today. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand our feet, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Believer, if you need to spend some time with your Lord asking for His help, maybe committing your heart once again to the work that God has called each of us to do in reaching our world for the Lord Jesus, sharing the gospel wherever we're at, to places that may be unfamiliar to us, to people that we don't know or we don't necessarily have a liking for. But being faithful to preaching the word, well, why don't you come? Spend some time with your Lord. If you need some encouragement or want a friend to come with you, grab their hand and pray together. That would be a joy. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus, come catch my hand. We'd have a counselor step aside and word, the truth of salvation, and you could today come to Christ, leaving here with the assurance that you're on your way to heaven and Christ is living within. So as our pianist quietly plays through the invitation hymn, we hum along. As God's working heart, you respond.